Well, we've been sharing from the book of Galatians on what we're calling Christ versus religion. The Apostle Paul, from the very start of his ministry, was different than the Judaizers or the men of the Jewish faith who was before him. Paul was given a revelation outside of the Jewish religion. We are going to see such a drastic difference in the Old Testament concept of Judaism and the New Testament concept of grace. They are vastly different. Paul begins in Galatians 1, chapter 6 and verse 9, saying that I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. Well, the other gospel that Paul was speaking of here is the gospel of Judaism. The reason Paul wrote the book of Galatians is because the Galatians were returning to Judaism. You see, there were certain Judaizers, men of the Jewish religion, the Jewish faith, who were Christians, but they also taught that to be acceptable to God, you must also keep the law. So these Judaizers was following Paul and sometimes coming after Paul had been to a place and again bringing people into the law of Judaism. And grace absolutely versus the law. Again, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You see, and that's what those who taught the law was doing. They were perverting the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ was a gospel of grace. The gospel that was revealed to Paul is that God comes to you, revealing himself first of all to you, and then as you begin to fellowship and receive this God, you discover that he is in you. And not only is he in you, he is your true life, your true nature and identity. You see, this is the gospel of Christ. But though we, Paul says, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. You see, Paul again preached the grace of Christ. There is nowhere in the grace message or the gospel of Christ, as Paul called it, there is no place in that gospel for man to do anything whatsoever. You see, the gospel of Christ is about an unveiling and a revealing of the Father heart of God. That Father loves you with an unconditional love and has provided for you the way into his presence where you can live a life not from a performance of an outward code of ethics or the law in an outward way, but Christ in you will fulfill all the righteous requirements of the law. You see, the gospel of Christ is, or the gospel of grace, does not say that you can live any way you want to, but the gospel of grace says that as you have unveiled to you the reality of the Father heart of God, that from the deepest recesses of your being, in your spiritual identity, you are able to live and fulfill all the righteous requirements of the law. You see, there's nothing lawless about the gospel of grace. But at the same time, you must not feel that you have to do certain things or abstain from certain things or be a certain way before God will accept you. You see, the law puts demands on you, and the gospel of Christ sets you free from the law and its demands so that you can come into His presence. And as you come into His presence and fellowship with Him, the life, His life within you begins to be formed. Remember what Paul says to the Galatians. He says, "Oh, how I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you." You see, that's what the gospel of Christ does. The gospel of Christ forms the very nature and the very heart of God within your consciousness. So that no longer do you have to live your life from a outward code or a ethical code, but you live your life by grace. Grace, again, is simply God's life in you, being formed in you, coming it into maturity within you that enables you to live a godly life on this earth. You see, grace is a divine enabler. When you really see grace, you realize that God has put no requirements on your flesh. In fact, that is what went to the cross. My old man was crucified with Him so that my new man, the Christ of God, the Spirit of God, the life-energizing force of my Father now arises within my consciousness, allowing me to freely walk in the grace and in the richness and in the empowerment of Christ. You see, the law could not make any man perfect. The grace of Christ versus the law of Moses. And how we need a clear vision to see this. We need a clear vision to see that the law versus Christ. Now that's a hard concept for some. However, the day that you begin to understand that the law versus grace, you'll begin to have an unveiling of grace within your very own heart. You see, I want to share just a few things to give you the contrast between law and grace. Because grace produces God's seed and His nature of unconditional love. You see, again, grace is God coming to you and revealing to you His life, His nature, His character within you. You see, that is grace. Grace enables you to love as God loves. Grace enables you to walk as God walks. Grace produces God's seed in you. Now, the law of Moses produces Satan's seed, the carnal nature of good and evil. Whoa, remember what I said last month? The law was not given to spiritual men. The law was given to carnal men. The law was given to restrain the carnal mind, or the natural mind, the natural man. The law was given to restrain his flesh. Because the natural man, without the law, would be lawless. But what we haven't understood is that grace absolutely replaces the law. You see, the law makes its demands on you and says, if you do this, you'll get this. If you don't do this, you'll get this or you won't get this. Where grace comes to you, again, grace is the Melchizedek priest of God coming to you, bringing to you the bread of his word and the wine of his enjoyment. You see, grace comes to you bringing gifts to you, not putting any demands whatsoever upon you. Because grace recognizes, God our Father recognizes his seed, his life, his ability within you. So he does not put demands upon you. He simply reveals to you that you have within the very essence of your being his nature, his life, his abundance. Where the law of Moses produces from your carnal nature good and evil. The carnal mind of man is based upon the knowledge of good and evil. You see, again, that's what happened to Adam. It's happened to all of us. That we have chosen to live a life that is based upon choosing the good over the evil. And if we choose the good, well, we feel that we deserve a blessing. If we choose the evil, then our conscience condemns us and we expect the worst. You see, that is a man living under the law of Moses. The law will always condemn you. I've used the example before as when I was really struggling, trying to be a good Christian, trying to live according to what I thought the law demands, I began to pray every day. And the more I prayed every day, the more I felt that I needed to pray more. And see, this is what the law does to you. The law never stops putting demands on you. If you give into it in just a small way, the law will increase its demands upon you. And you will never feel good enough or righteous enough or holy enough. You will struggle all of your life trying to be a better person. Where grace, again, reveals to you that you are a spiritual being. And as a spiritual being, you have the same life and nature as your Father. And so it becomes effortless for you to live a life of abundance. Well, grace produces a dependence on God for everything. You see, you begin to understand that within your being, there is all that God is. And everything that you need comes to you because the divine essence of his being is your being. And this is what Jesus meant when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." Because once you walk in the reality of the kingdom of God, you discover that everything that you need just flows to you from the abundance of his life. Where the law, living by the law's demands, produces a self-dependence. You see? Grace produces dependence on God for everything, but law produces a self-dependence. In other words, you must do it. You must build up your self-image. You must recreate an image of yourself. And by struggling and striving and promising and making resolutions and doing all that you can do to produce within your own carnal being a better person. You see, this is what the law does. The law produces within you self-dependence. In other words, it's up to me. And this is what preachers used to tell me all the time, "Gary, it's up to you. You make the wrong choices, You do the wrong things. You go into the wrong places. And so, you know, how can you expect God to bless you when you are always making the wrong choices? So what happens to those who have a strong self-will and a strong character and a good character are able to bring themselves into line with the law's demands? But what that does is produce a self-dependence. And it produces a modern-day Pharisee, because you will look at all of those who are not able to do what you can do, and you will look down on them because if you did it, they should do it also. Where again, grace produces a dependence on God for everything. You see, you realize that, as Jesus said, I of mine own self can do nothing. I try to make choices, but sometimes it doesn't seem to work. So I don't need a good self-image in the sense of my natural man, but I need to realize the utter hopelessness of me ever trying to be as God would have me to be. You see? Because when you have the revelation of Christ in you, you no longer have to try. In fact, it would be ridiculous for you to try to be godly. Because once the essence of his life begins to flow in you, then you can't do anything but be a manifestation of who he is. So it produces a dependence upon God for everything when you understand grace and when you begin to walk in the reality of grace. Well, the law produces a selfish and a self-centered love. This is what the law does. A selfish love. You see, if you love me, I love you. If you do good to me, I will do good to you. And as long as you do not do anything contrary or negative towards me, I will love you. But it's really a selfish love, because I love you because you love me. I love you because you're good to me. Perhaps you shower me with gifts, or you compliment me, you know, by what you say. But the very moment that you begin to do something against me, then my love becomes critical and resentful and becomes bitter towards you. Well, that's the best the law can do. Again, the law is simply living by a knowledge of good and evil. But grace produces a godly, selfless love. God's love within you enables you to love the ungodly. It enables you to love those who are not so lovely. Well, grace produces a godly image. But the law produces a self-image that is good and evil. You see, I said earlier that we don't need a good self-image, we need a good godly image. In other words, we discover that our true self, our true nature, is the being of God. And we begin to walk in his grace. And we begin to experience his unconditional love for us. And the more we experience that love that flows from our being, the more we love everyone with that love, without any sense of reward, without desiring anything from anyone. We just love. Because you see, walking in the kingdom of God, we already have everything. Everything that we need flows to us. So we can love without a selfish motive. You see, we can love without trying to get from the other person. You see, a true Melchizedek priesthood never tries to get anything from anyone, because a Melchizedek priest has everything that they need as they walk in his abundant life. They have the source of all that is flowing to them and through them. Well, the law of Moses produces the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. We've talked much about that in the past. How that when you would do good, evil is always present with you. When you make the right decisions to do that which is good in the sight of God or man, evil is always present with you. You decide, God, I'll never do that again. You set your sights on pleasing God. And yet here's that law of sin and death nipping at your heels. And it will always bring you into its law of sin and death. You see, the law of Moses can only produce sin and death, because the law of Moses will simply stir up your carnal man to try to make him into something that he isn't. Yet the grace of God produces the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. You see, grace reveals to you that the law of his life is in you. And remember what Paul said to the Romans. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You see, this again is grace. You are saved not by what you do, but you're saved by his life. And you're not saved by his life, you know, like coming to you from outside of you, but you're saved by his life that arises within you. There is no salvation in the carnal mind, in the natural man. The salvation is in the life, the being, the essence, the substance of God that arises within you. Hallelujah. So grace produces the law of the Spirit of life. The law of Moses produces the works of the flesh. You see, we hear the law in an outward way, and then we work to try to fulfill it. I've shared this many times, how it relates to ministry. That we feel the call of God on our lives, and then we do everything within our power to bring that into manifestation. We work night and day. We'll do anything we can do to make that ministry that God called us to happen. But all we do is we produce the works of the flesh. But you see, grace coming to you produces in you the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance, self-control. Grace reproduces in you all the fruits of God's Spirit. You see, there is such a contrast, such a difference between law and grace. Grace produces a life that is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Grace in us, again, enables us to live a life that is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Not controlled by our natural desires and our emotions, but totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. What a blessing. We've had so many years of teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. But today, we're beginning to realize what it really means to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit means that you are motivated, you are moved, and you are controlled by His Spirit rising within you. Well, the law of Moses produces a life that is controlled by religious spirits. And oh my, how much we see that today. A life that is controlled by wicked spirits. And I'm sorry, by religious spirits. Actually, they're one and the same. I've watched many of the religious telethons to raise money. Saw one recently. And as I'm watching those, I see with such clarity the resemblance of Roman Catholicism. You see, Martin Luther, one of his big objections to Catholicism that caused him to do what he did is the selling of indulgences. The selling of indulgences says that, well, first of all, the Catholics believe that when you die, you go to a place called purgatory. And depending upon what kind of life you live determines how long you stay in this realm of purgatory. It's kind of a place between heaven and hell in their concept. But if you will pay the priest, or you will send money to the church, you can literally buy years off of your relative's time being in purgatory. It's called the selling of indulgences. In other words, it's paying God to do something for you. Really, what it is paying the church. And then the church influences God on how long people are in purgatory. Anyway, and I see such a similarity in that and in these Christian telethons. God's people today, so many, are really desperate, especially financially. And because they're living under the law of sin and death, the law of Moses, they feel that it is their fault if they're in poverty. Many times they feel it's their fault if they're in sickness and disease because, you know, they can't believe God, or they haven't believed God, or they haven't believed the gospel. But anyway, here's these big Christian telethons, and they tell the people that you need to buy your way out of your condition. Oh, they don't say those words. They call it seed faith giving. And you know, the principle of seed faith giving is a wonderful principle because it's a godly principle. But when you use a principle of God to manipulate God's people into giving you money for your ministry, you are no different or doing no differently than what the Catholics did by selling their indulgences. You see, in the Christian telethons, they would not tell you that they are selling you, but what they will tell you is that, you know, you sow the largest financial seed that you can into this ministry, and God is going to meet your need. And a lot of times they'll say, well, you send in your largest seed faith offering, and at the end of our program, we're going to have this big evangelist who has a lot of influence with God pray for you, and you're going to be released from financial difficulties. You're going to be released from health problems. You see, this is the difference between grace and law, and it's quite a difference. Well, grace, divine grace, produces on the earth one new man. We're beginning to realize as the Spirit of God is formed within us that all of us are one. Paul speaks of this in the book of Ephesians, how that, you know, we are growing up into the head until we all arrive at the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect or a full-grown man. We're beginning to realize that grace produces one new man on this earth. And you see, there's nothing else that you can do that is going to bring the kingdom of God to this earthly realm. Nothing you can do. But the more we help people realize that the very substance of God is their true being, and we help them and be minister to them until they're able to begin to experience this life and live by this life, it will produce in us and in them this one new man. This one new man that is coming forth, a corporate man in the body of Christ, cares for absolutely nothing but enjoyment. You see, we learn to live by God through the enjoyment of God. I said many times before that in John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, it is said that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth, or grace and reality, came through Jesus Christ. And that one of the root words of grace is enjoyment. So it would really be proper to read the verse this way. The law came through Moses, but grace, enjoyment, and reality came through Jesus Christ. What a difference. The law came through Moses. The law, with all of its demands, came through Moses. But grace, enjoyment, came through Jesus Christ. So as the one new man is growing in the consciousnesses of God's people on this earth, we are arising, realizing that we are all one. We have the same Father, we have the same life, we have the same nature. And this one new man that is raising up on the earth is one who has this unconditional love of God that condemns no man, that only judges a righteous judgment, and is bringing all of creation out of the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the children of God. See, this is not just going to happen someday. This is happening today. This is what sons of God are doing today. We are releasing all of creation from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. But it's every man in his own order. But the one new man is growing on this earth. The one new man is coming to maturity in this earth, in these earth bodies, to manifest the life and the nature. Well, the law of Moses does not produce a one new man. The law of Moses produces divisions in the body. Whoa. The law of Moses produces division. You see, the law is the reason for every divisive act in what we call the church today. The organizations are really not the church, is what we call them. But it's the law of Moses that creates all of the divisions in the churches. Because all of them feel that they have to live a certain way. We all have our statements of faith, and we all believe that we are right and everyone else is wrong. Again, I'll say that the law of Moses is the root cause of every division amongst God's people. Some of the divisions are absolutely ridiculous. You know, there are different beliefs on baptism, for instance. Many people believe that to be baptized, you must be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Others believe, whom we call Jesus only, that you must be baptized not in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but you must be baptized into Jesus. And so there are denominations that are split over how to baptize, in what name to baptize in. And those who baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they don't really fellowship with the Jesus only. And some of the Jesus-only people who say you must be baptized in the name of Jesus or you're not even saved. There are literally hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of silly doctrines like that that divide the people of God. Because they believe that serving God is a matter of doing things right. And right according to their concepts. Right according to their precepts as they read the Bible. Well, what should we be baptized in? Should we be baptized in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or in the name of Jesus? Would it really make any difference? If you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or if you're baptized into Jesus, who is the fullness of that name, see, the name, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Jesus was the fullness of all that God is. There are so many doctrines that divide the body of Christ. It's absolutely ridiculous today. So grace produces the one new man where we all realize that we are one. If we're in a Baptist church, a Lutheran church, a Pentecostal church, a Holiness church, a Seventh-day Adventist church, a Mormon church, if we realize that we all have the same Father, we all have the same life and nature, we'll begin to examine why we are so divided, why we are so mean-spirited, why are we so hateful, and we begin to seek God for a revelation of His unconditional love. And then you realize what we believe, our differences in what we believe, really doesn't matter all that much. If we will focus on the oneness, focus on the life within us, focus on divine grace, the enablement to live as God lived, as Jesus lived on this earth. If we focus on our oneness, if we focus on Jesus, the branch, and we are the vine. You see, this is what he was trying to illustrate in I am the vine, you are the branches. Is the branch not the vine? Does the branch not have the same life as the vine? Did Jesus not clearly reveal to his disciples that they were one? That I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you, and we are complete in oneness. You see, this is what grace produces. Again, the one new man. So anything that would try to divide you in your mind from another believer is law. Law is the creator. The law of Moses is the creator of all the divisions in the body of Christ. Living by an outward law. Thinking that our way is the right way. When there is only one way, Jesus taught very clearly, there is only one way to the Father, and that's through Him. That's through the unveiling of Christ within you. It's the unveiling of His essence, His being, His substance within you. That's the only way there is. There is no other way. You can't pray enough. You can't study enough. You can't read enough. The only thing that will bring us into a recognition of oneness is the revelation of His life in us. And you see, when we have that, then we realize that same life, that same nature is in everyone. Oh, they may not believe like us. They may not talk like us. They may not observe the traditions of our church. They may not believe certain things that we believe. But if we see that the substance of who they are is the substance of who we are, it will bring into manifestation the one new man that Paul preached. Can you just imagine what creation is going to be like as more and more people across the world realize the substance, the being of Christ is within them? My, to know that the law can only divide. You know, the law is the reason for almost all of the wars across the world. Religion. Religion and its laws. But a revelation of the unconditional love of God within us will absolutely destroy any need for an outward law. You see, if you realize that your brother and your sister or your neighbor is really their true nature, their true being is the nature and the being of spirit, you could not steal from them. You could not lust after your neighbor's wife. In fact, when you discover the being of God within you, you will always, when you begin to make decisions, you will always make decisions based on for what is best for you. Now that sounds selfish, but think about it. If you always make the best decisions according to what is best for you, what is best for you is to always base your decisions on unconditional love. And when you do that, the decision that you base that's the best for you will be the best for your neighbor. It'll be the best for your wives and husbands. It'll always be the best. Then grace and law. Remember, I said last month that grace and law represents two different men. Grace represents Christ. The law represents Adam, or the natural man. And the natural man, Adam, comes to maturity in the book of Revelation and is called Mystery Babylon, the great harlot. You see, the best that your human nature, your carnal mind can produce is Mystery Babylon, the great harlot. But grace, the grace of God, produces the New Jerusalem. With streets of gold, people who are walking in the divine nature. Hallelujah. People who are selfless and people who are caring and for one another. Grace produces the New Jerusalem, the city of God, where nothing enters that makes a lie. Nothing enters that is not God-like. Well, you see, this city of God is among us right now. This city of God can be walked in, can be experienced by you today as you begin to walk on the streets of gold, walk in His divine nature, share the greatness of God. Amen. This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, IGLER, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27114.
Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music.
Yes, I'll take.